WKG4WNP.
WNP, W4DJW Mobile.
You did, and Dave won. I was just making sure you use power pole direct to your box inside. You don't need the Amphenol connector, correct?
The Amphenol connector. Just what's inside, just what's bolted down inside the box.
Okay. We'll continue packing.
I'm turning right onto 290, so I'm just getting started.
Feel that hot microphone. How does it sound on this repeater?
Hot. Like it's got it halfway down your throat.
I just had to check.
Listen, though, it makes you wonder when you're on the other one. What was the other one like? Now you know.
Be able to tell, too, what I'm doing if I use this microphone. Hands on a couple more.
Or right after you said a couple more. Yeah. KW, mobile. I don't know if it's better or not, but I heard all the better.
Talkie, Patrick.
Is it all day? I guess it is about time, huh?
A lightweight battery, too. One got a little bit heavier one, but it's older, so we'll see how it does.
On the noise floor is even bothering this repeater.
The cause of the clicking that we've been having trouble with, where we thought somebody was ker-chunking, but they weren't.
Seeing that graph of the 24 hours, that waterfall that lasts for 24 hours, yeah, and seeing that thing squiggle around, yeah, I'm pretty sure of it.
At some point, we're going to have to come up with a permanent solution for that.
Knowing what you're up against is half the battle, right? Knowing what you're up against is half the battle.
When it's intermittent, you can't find it. You can't do much with it. This one, at least we know what it is.
We're past that place on Sandy Flat where I nearly hit two deer today.
Morning?
Yeah, on my way up to the repeater site, I was talking on the radio, and two deer just came from my left and went out the right, and I had to slam on brakes. Everything came forward in the car. And they were probably 5 feet in front of my bumper. All I saw was heads and butts going up and down, and one of them scared the poop out of him, for sure, because I saw it fly.
Oh, boy. That was a sight, I'm sure, to see. Well, be careful. They're getting worse, you know.
It's the best call I've ever had. The nearest miss. And they were big deer, too. Their heads were higher than my head when I'm sitting in the car. They were over my head, probably over the top of the car, easy.
You even hit one of those, you'd knock its feet out from under him, and he'd come right in the windshield with you. Ooh, that would be bad.
It's not going to stop that much weight. I was going about 45 or 50 when I slammed on brakes. And they thought they could get, I guess they were right, they did get across the road, but it was a near miss.
The encounter we had with them was, it was dark, and we weren't going but just to maybe 25 or 30 in the country. And I don't know, I guess it was three or four went across in front of us, and the last one was like, what I do, and we slowed down, and it went on.
Good thing you had time to do that. If I would have been 250 milliseconds further down the road, I'd have been looking at another car or something. The deer would have had a really bad day.
Let me tell you about his deer experience. Combo situation going on. Need to get him to tell you the story.
He's probably still packing up. reports off before the peanut guy or after the peanut guy?
At Highway 8, you have to go on up 276 and turn off like you're going up the mountain. That's why he was telling you if you'd let him, he'd come a little bit further down the hill.
Where he is and where I am, when we both get closer to each other.
276 through put Cleveland down into Marietta and hang a right and go home that way too. So he got options.
Four-way stop here at the Dollar General.
It's kind of aggravating. And I'm not used to it yet. I have to check myself so I don't run it.
I'm used to going through there at 45, 50 miles an hour. But now I got to stop.
What I got used to, I've been running up down that road forever. So adding that particular four-way stop, it does make a difference, and it's something I got to get used to. I do understand why they did it, though. The last accident they had there, a lady got hit and drug off that embankment over on the right. It killed her, so they decided it's time to do something about it.
But they're popping up all over the place. There was one over on 101 that Tom just, it just irks him to no end. It bothers me, too. You have to sit in line. Sometimes I see that line and I just turn around and go the other way.
Yeah, I can understand why you would do that. Like, oh, come on, guys. Can't we go faster?
Well, that one, it's got a lot of, it's really high traffic, especially in the mornings and the evenings. And everybody has to come to a complete stop. It's not that they have to sit long. It's just that everybody has to come to a stop. And when you've got several hundred cars that have to go and stop, you know, the line can get quite long.
Especially on a busy road, it don't take long. There's not a lot of them. I kind of wish they'd went with a red light, but the reason they didn't is because they don't want to pay the extra money. I don't know how many $100,000 red light costs, but sure, it's not cheap, and then you got a power bill to go with it.
More and more people get out here, it'll eventually come to that. But then there'll be more tax money to pay for it, so I guess it all balances out.
Wide and 290.
Lenny. The new Wade Hampton.
I don't like that. W40 Wade.
25 W4 DJW. About to turn off. Well, no, I got a little ways to go on 25.
MP Mobile.
I hear a deer story.
You guys, I had to. Had the handy talkie going. The short version of my deer story, Dave, is just which one do you want to hear about? And that if you look at my truck and something looks dented or bent, all of that is from deer, except for like two small spots that are from some other things. But everything else is from deer. So I've had about five or six hits.
Well, I almost got two on the way up there, but near miss. That doesn't count, I guess, except for horseshoes and hanger nades. But it's your truck is still going, so they didn't total you out yet.
Out of all of those, only one really got up in front of me, and it was a little one, so I went up and over that one. And then all the rest have been, there was one other that was a sizable deer that I caught, just barely caught with the passenger front bumper. And so that put, you know, bent it, but sent him flying. And then another one ran square into the passenger side rear of my bed on the truck. I mean, in the side. So he just ran flat into it enough to kick the truck tail into the truck sideways a little bit.
Owen.
155, I was out in the country. country. I was at like maybe 4 in the morning, you know, out in the country, headed to the airport, and just ran right into the side of me. All of his buddies made it across in front, and he was lagging behind, and just smacked right into me.
Keep running, or if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, it's probably kind of hard to see. But did these deer survive, or any of them not survive?
I got to admit, I'm not sure about the one that hit me in the side. The one I went up and over, it was dead. I got it out the road and had to pull the front air dam. It's just a piece of plastic. It doesn't do anything else under the bumper. I had to take that off, but it didn't really bust anything up. But I had tufts of his fur all up, you know, and parts of the muffler and stuff underneath because he got out in front and I went all the way over him. And then the big one that I caught with the passenger side, yeah, he was cartwheeling through the air, so he was dead.
But, yeah, they're becoming a real danger. That's my closest. Well, that was not my closest encounter. One time coming back from Jacksonville, coming up, I guess it's 26 or 95 or something like that, up the coast of South Carolina, those deer just hang out right by the side of the interstate, and I don't know how they get on the other side of the fence, but I went by one time. He was grazing. He was just a couple of feet the other side of the white line, and I was doing 70 miles an hour, and he just, boom, there he was, and then I just went right past him and thought, all he'd have to do is just graze out and end that lane a little bit, and it'd be all over with.
The way they get on the other side of the fence is they jump over it.
Pictures of them doing that. But that's pretty wild. There's a lot of them up and down that stretch of the road. I imagine there's a lot of accidents on that road due to deer.
I have had many more close calls. What you described this morning is sometimes a relatively normal occasion for me out where I live, early morning and whatnot. So I've had many more close calls. Those were just the ones where I actually had strikes. And for a while there, it was all fairly close together. They were doing their best to kill my truck. But knock on wood, it's been a little while now, but I've had a few close calls since then.
The first one that I had that was like in your face, right there, right in front of my front bumper, that was kind of scary.
I'm sure your heart was pumping after that. It'll get your attention.
All the stuff in my car was slammed to the front of the car because I was on those brakes.
I can tell you that for around here, what will really get your attention, I came home one night, came around the curve on the road I live on, and there was a horse standing square in the middle of the road just on the other side of the curve, so you could no way to tell that it was there until you came around the curve, and all of a sudden, horse. That'll get your attention even more than the deer. And it was dark, and it was a dark-colored horse.
Bide, or did he run?
He didn't move at all. I came to a stop. He was just standing there, and then as I got finally stopped, he walked off. He just got out of the pen there, you know. He was just basically standing out there, and that's happened to me, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Hasn't happened in a while, so they must have fixed their fence or trained their horse better.
I mean, yeah, a horse is considerably more mass than a deer. that's like coming around that corner and a house is in the middle of the road.
Here, that's as close as we get to what you run into out west with, and up north, you know, with elk and moose, you know, they're even bigger. But a horse is as close as we'll get to that around here, KG4 WMP.
Highway 11 meets Gear Highway, I guess. Right there where they sometimes sell peanuts at the flashing red light.
Talking about 276 and the 11 extension that runs over to 25?
I think so. It's where they've got flashing lights and there's a store on the right, and merge in with, I'm on Highway 11 now. I was on Highway 11, okay. So I went from 11 to 11.
Yeah, it's both 276 and 11 right where you are right there. So 11 comes in from 25 and you'll turn right. And from that point, you're on 276 and 11 until you go up the mountain on 276. Well, I'm still coming down the mountain. I'm about to Bald Rock after two more curves.
The spot I picked is going to be a good spot, right where you fork off.
Either there or if I make it, make some time, it might be, I can come all the way down to 11. So just call, I guess, as you get closer to there. There's a better place to get out down there if I come all the way down to 11. Because you can pull off and get off the road there. Whereas if you come up to 8, it's just the intersection.
Same thing. It might be safer there because you're not just sitting out in the middle of the road. You're off to the side of the road, which is much safer.
On the right before where you normally turn to go up the mountain off 11, you can pull off there and I can come down that far. Because we certainly don't want to be like the guy that was sitting broadways across the intersection at that junction with Highway 8, and I come around out of 8, and all of a sudden, car, kind of like horse. And he was just pulled off. That was his way. He was coming down the mountain, and I guess he figured nobody ever comes up the mountain the other way, so he just pulled over there broadways across the road.
That will avoid that bad judgment. And I'll just pull off there right before where I'll pull off to the right before I get to the base of the pull off of the mountain.
Work. Should be, we'll probably get there close to the same time, I would think. I'll be a little behind you probably.
In the time, I'm behind a couple of flatlanders, I think is what Wyatt calls them.
And yeah, I might win. I'm just past Asbury, so I'm coming down pretty good now.
Go ahead, Johnny.
What you guys have been doing or not, WD-40 Rage.
I'm going to try KG4WNP.
I'll get it started. What we learned today?
One thing is that nothing ever goes as planned.
Tasking, I guess, has met its match.
But I'm almost.
Did you use that Max CPU?
Working area today, KG4WNP.
Two curves away from you, but behind two slow trucks.
WD-40 White.
Johnny.
The antenna system for the link got an issue with our wandering signal that keeps coming across the repeater input. An ID issue, volume control issue. I believe you wanted to add some functionality to the touchstone capabilities in order to take care of that. Let's see what else. That covers a lot of it.
One more. We need to, I think I'm where Landon is now. There's a bunch of people in here. Turn that up there before we take it back again.
We already knew that. I thought you were talking about stuff we learned today.
Well, I'm getting out of the car to pick it up. I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
K4OSH here. I was real disappointed with the results of our antenna test. I'll be sure and take a SWR meter the next time we go up there. That could be part of the problem, but I don't know. There's just so much stuff bouncing around up there. And the fact that it aims off in a strange direction to get the best signal doesn't make a whole lot of sense somehow.
That's bothersome. I'm going to check with Gary, see if we can get our hands on a beam that's tuned for 2 meters, too, if that's okay with you. Maybe even see about turning its rotation.
I think we can come come up with. That would just happen to be in the junk box, so to speak. It was a stacked array, and I still have the other half of the array. It's not in as good a shape as what we use today, but we could, I suppose, put the array back together.
We definitely learned something. You know, the load from that beam, with it turned the way it is, the load's going to be up and down. If we rotated, 90 degrees or so, then we'd have a load that went out.
One of those two little antennas that was close to where we were working was angled at 45 degrees. Might be a compromise.
Stability, so having a way to rotate it might be useful as well.
Simple TV rotor is cheap, but I don't know whether it'd stand up to that environment or not.
I'm being called to supper, gentlemen. I'm going to have to get off the radio for a little bit.
That sounds important. I believe I'd take care of that. K4OSH, clear.
I'll get back with you, Pat, soon. See what we can come up with for the next trip.
Catch you later. Enjoyed it. W4DJW Mobile.
KG4WNP.
I was telling Pat, I'll get up with him soon. See what I can come up with so we can take it with us on the next trip. Hopefully solve the problem. W4DYH, thank y'all for your help.
Thinking about putting that back into a stack beam.
I was telling Johnny I have the other half of the array. That's what it was originally. And we could put it back and repair the other half that's not in as good a shape as the one we're using. But we could reassemble it possibly. I don't know if that would help or not. K4OSH.
WR after, Landon heard that while we were standing out talking, after it's mounted, because it's usually never the same after you hang them as before you hang them.
I had it on the mast, but I didn't have the same length of coax or even the same quality of coax, so the whole tuning process is suspect at best.
That first place on the tower, it would be problem solved.
Get it out of the fuzz ball, as you call it, and get it over the hump at the same time.
It's for Landon to come in there if he wants to.
Well, I wasn't sure what to say. but yeah, getting it up there would do. Now, there'll be some noise up there too. The first space is kind of in a busy area, but I think it, as you said, it should be better. Certainly the elevation change will help a lot. We'll just have to get a mount going, and we'll have to talk it over whether we want to attempt that in a temporary way or if we want to just work towards doing it once and being done. I kind of vote for the latter, but if we need it for testing, then we might have to do something in between to get the testing done before we put a permanent mount.
What solution? Is that a two-bay folded dipole, or is that a beam, a Yagi?
I guess we'll have to talk about it again. I think the last time that we talked about it, we were talking about a folded dipole, mainly because it being on the tower, it's at ground potential. That's why we like those on the tower. But if we think we need something else and the elevation's not going to be enough for that kind of omnidirectional, then maybe we need to go to a beam. That probably would require testing, getting something up there and seeing how it does.
We get to do that before we can do that because we've got coax, right? Or we've got transmission line.
It's a yes and a no. So the stuff that's there in the shack, the intent of that is that those are going to be two brand new runs to the primary antenna. And then what is currently on the primary antenna would get repurposed for the lower locations. So, yes, we have it, but it's not, what you saw sitting there is not really intended to be chopped up for that. But we might be able to, at that lower level, we might be able to come up with something temporary if we needed to, or we have to do the rest of the work. The mount would originally, if it's a 4-bay folded dipole, would be, sorry, 2-bay, would be a mount, a little bit smaller version of what we have up the top. That was the intent.
But it's just in use. And then we got to make the hardware to hold it in place.
If we don't have the mount at all for that purpose, we wouldn't want to put a one there. And we just need to double check that the mount will fit there. We looked at it before. It's just been too long ago now that I don't remember off the top of my head. Or like I say, we might maybe need to make a mount of a different type. But the first choice would be the same style that we have up top.
That's my vote. Whatever the permanent solution is, but I know we've got to wait on that. So we've got to wait on the other work that's going to happen when it's better weather, because we're going higher up the tower. So we're going to have to wait on that. So maybe a temporary something that gets it up in the air and out of the fur ball. I think the Yagi would be fine. It's just we've got it in a not such a prime location. W4DJW.
Yeah, it really comes back to the same old thing. You know, we have, lots of irons in the fire. And the more irons we put in the fire, it delays other ones. So we either have to go back and proceed with that other work and get it done and just keep going along in order, or we have to do something temporary so that those actions can be in parallel. KG4WMP.
I'm going to go ahead and get that MOPI thing. I'm going to go ahead and get that started, and I've needed an excuse to go upgrade my phone, so I might as well use that to go get a SIM card and at least get that piece of it working. Or try to see if we can make some headway in that piece of it. Because having it up there with no access to it, no remote access to it, just is not working for us.
I don't disagree, but, we have to get it all tested and have it up there. If we get all the ducks in a row, then it'll probably be okay short term, but yeah, it would be much better to be able to get in remotely. And it might be worth, you can go ahead and get it if you want, but like I said earlier, it might be worth at least doing the quickie phone check, with an AT&T carrier, and just walk around and see what kind of signal strengths, an AT&T shows up there compared to what I did today.
I could always, if it doesn't work out up there, I could always repurpose it for a Wi-Fi extender and a tertiary internet service provider from home, right? And I might even learn something from it.
I wasn't saying you shouldn't get it as long as it was not going to put you out. If you were getting it just for this and that was a stretch, then I was going to say, well, maybe do the other test, because like I said earlier, I might end up having to get one anyway for home that, we could test with. But right now, I'm going to attempt to preserve my old router and just plug this other thing up to it. I just have a feeling I'm not going to get that to work.
Trigger on that other one, the MOFI, and the SIM card. And get some debugging done this week on that identifier and get it rock solid, then maybe we can make another attempt at it next week. But we've got to have a plan for the antenna. We don't have a plan for the antenna yet.
Well, and that was really my original thought on this, was really about all about the antenna and not really about trying to put the prototype back up for another test. Because we had talked before that, yeah, we got to have the antenna ironed out for the link before we do another test. We'll just have to adjust again and try again.
maybe do like Pat suggested, just walk around, or you suggested one, somebody suggested, walking around hunting for a better spot.
Combination of that, you know, checking the SWR, I think that's important to do. See if we can find a spot. It might even be where we just take, you know, another radio, hook another radio to it, where we don't necessarily try to do the full link. We just try to see how it does. I know the easiest way is just doing the link, but that requires getting the whole system up there. I think we've got a few options to try.
Maybe we plan on that for the next trip. Try to find Wi-Fi and a link radio position.
And if we really do want to get into thinking about, after looking at that, and if we're still having trouble with the link antenna, you know, then we'll have to talk about whether we want to do something temporary to get it aloft and try to address it that way. Because there's some of that work could probably knock out fairly quickly. It's lower down. You know, just getting the feed line is going to be the first thing, or the biggest probably sticking point. But the other work is easier to do since it's lower down. KG4WNT.
Come back to Johnny for next weekend.
I guess we can if we think we're going to be ready. I know he's got the. I saw the email that they're doing a radio install party next Sunday, so I don't know whether he can tie up Saturday or some part of Sunday, because obviously he's got that commitment. And then obviously we don't know what the weather will be next weekend yet, but yeah, we can certainly propose it if we think we're ready to try something.
The Wi-Fi cell connectivity hardware by next weekend, and we'll play it by ear. W4DJW.
And I will attempt to front load some of my work during the week if I can, so that I can be better able to not work next weekend. I was technically supposed to go to work this afternoon, but I'll make it up tomorrow.
I have a question, K4OSH. You were pointing out a broken antenna up on the tower. Is it functioning in some way, or is it out of service?
The one that I was pointing at is out of service. So all the spots that we have reserved on the tower, except for the top one, are currently occupied by old stuff that's been up there for 30 years, and previously the biggest issue was the feed line that was on it. It was old hard line, and it was just, it had holes, it's just bad, it has to come down. And that's been on our list for a while. But since then we've had some damage to the antennas that were in those positions, even though they were out of service. Only one of them was a folded dipole, the others were, you know, just standard sticks. But we've had some damage. I think some of it was probably from ice, and the other, I think, is all the tower work for the repack that went on. I have a feeling that some of it happened then. But they are out of service.
Well, I think you answered the question that was in the back of my mind, which was if the feed line to that broken out-of-service antenna was any good, that might be a temporary way to test, but sounds like that's probably not a reasonable idea.
That stuff is not serviceable. The only option would really be to just put another run up, a feed line up there. And so if we were going to try to do it temporary, I don't want to speak for Johnny, but I'm almost sure he's not going to want to use what we have on the spools down there, because those are long runs to do the top spot. And when we get the phasing going on, which is also on the plan, you know, we want matched lengths. So the idea was to use those spools there to achieve all that. So we probably have to just come up with another temporary run.
answered the question that was in the back of my mind while y'all were talking, so I'll let you go. Thank you for all your time spent today, and K4OSH will be clear.
See you, Pat. Thanks for coming up and bringing them out. And Dave, you're probably not home yet, I know, but I am in the driveway, so I think I'm going to go inside. I will catch you later, and maybe we need to, I don't have a round of emails or something to discuss what we think we want to maybe try next weekend, like you were talking about. KG4WNP.
I'll go ahead and get that stuff ordered, and then I'll get that email kicked off, and we'll go from there. We'll see. We'll play it by ear from that point. And good to see you, Pat. Appreciate all your help. Take care, Landon, W4DJW Mobile.
Have a good evening. K4OSH clear.
WNP clear. Good night, guys.
B4CVA Mobile.
CVA, W4DJW Mobile. Hey, David.
What in the world have you been up to today? I heard you tweaking something. Was that something on the repeater?
Another run at getting the prototype up there and getting the linking radio working. But we didn't succeed on either one. So it's back to the drawing board. It happens. It's part of the developmental process, right?
Clearly right. If you, first you don't succeed, you know, call somebody else, let them do it. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that, you know, Babe Ruth was home run king, but he struck out over 1,000 times.
My wife would put it, call the guy. She's all the time saying, call the guy.
My wife wants me to fix everything because she thinks I can. So, and some things I've just never, you know, messed with. So I don't know if I can fix them or not.
More difficult than others, but that's how we learn.
I was having my son-in-law and daughter move in to their house today, and I was putting up some garden fencing for to keep the dogs from being able to get in the front yard. And I've never done that garden fencing before, and uses clips, and I had to buy one of those drivers that you pound them into the ground with. And if I'd have my 7-pound sledgehammer with me, I'd have just used it. I had to do two rods because we're connecting to an older fence, and it's a garden fence, and on one side, and the other side we're going to be connecting to a wooden fence, so I'll just, I've got some little brackets, and I'll screw them on there and you know, hold it up against that wooden fence, and then I drove a rod right, you know, right up against the house for the other side. So that'll take care of the dogs, and they'll have a big backyard to run around in. They're, one of them's, he's like a horse. I don't know what he is, but he's huge.
Supposed to get big dogs, but big dogs need room to run. They like to run. They like to stretch out when they're running, and that takes space. So I keep resisting. I'd like to have a couple of big dogs, but got to have space for them. And where we live, not enough space for that.
Have a they have a humongous crate that he sleeps in, and the other dog, I'm not sure why, but the big dog has to sleep in the crate. The little one, evidently, he kind of behaves himself, so he doesn't. But it's really interesting. In fact, that was one of the last things I did before I left, was put his crate together, because they were getting ready to feed him, and I think they were all going to bed. Everybody's wore out.
Dog, a Great Dane or something like that? Is it a short-haired dog or a long-haired dog?
Haired dog, and he is, I don't know, they call his name's Joey, and they, he just jumps all over you. But he, you know, how tall I am, and he, when he jumps up on me, his paws come up to my shoulders.
There's a person in our neighborhood that had a dog like that, and the woman that would go out walking, standing side by side with the dog, the dog's back was above her waist. So when she's out walking that dog, it's like, who's walking who? I think the dog was walking her.
But it's strong now. The little one, Rufus, he's, I don't know what he is either. He has, his paws are turned to the outside, and both front paws. And, but he is strong. He's real short-legged, but he's real bulky. And I don't know how much he weighs, but I took them both out the other night when they were at our house, and I couldn't, he was down, he went down the hill in the backyard, and I could not pull him. I mean, he was like, just like pulling a tree or tree stump or something. I mean, he's a chunk of dog.
We first got our little dog. I never had little dogs when I was growing up or in my adult life. I always had big dogs. And I remember when we got this little one, thinking when you're out walking them or you're picking them up to move them around or something like that, thinking, my, how easy this is. Because I always had like pairs of shepherds, German shepherds. And you're always, I mean, they like to, if you've got them on a leash, they're pulling, and you're pulling back. Back when we lived out in the country, it didn't matter. There wasn't any leash. You just look at them and tell them what to do, and they just do it. But leashes, I don't think they like those too much. But I thought, how convenient. This little dog, you don't have to pull on a leash. It's just, you just pick it up and go. So one of the benefits of little dogs.
West 2-4 in.
Breaker, I didn't get your call. KP4CPA.
For David, up in Rock Hill area, IYI, Robert. But I am backing it in the driveway, so I'm going to let you pick him up, and I am going in the house. W4DJW, good to talk to you.
And you have a good evening, and hope you have a good night's sleep. And the breaker in there, go ahead. No response. This is KB4 CBA Mobile.